hopeful parents and families. A time of hope has come. And this season of Advent preparation is upon us. And it couldn't come any too soon from my perspective. What is it we hope for? What are you hopeful about these days? Peace. I heard that from just about everywhere. Amen. And praise God. Peace in our world. Peace in our times. Peace in our lives. Peace in our families and in our faith communities and in the wider world that God is calling us to serve. Peace is a wonderful thing to hope for. Keeps peace alive when people hold it in hopefulness in their hearts and act according. What else? What are we hopeful for today? Love. The greatest of these, Paul says, is love. Even among faith and hope, love. It's been described by some of our new physicists as that force, that power that links all things. The anti-entropic force, it's called. And they give that the name love, many. That love is that integral force that brings things together as opposed to the natural tendency that things have to fragment and to disperse. What else? Peace and love, those are pretty good. Comfort. Comfort for lots of folks in terribly uncomfortable times. Lots of people who are suffering the loss of jobs, the loss of loved ones, loss in many forms. Comfort for people who mourn. Comfort for people who are struggling. Comfort for people in the late seasons of their lives. Comfort for us all. And comfort from one another at our hands to the ones who are in such need. Comfort, a gift that we can give as well as something for which we hope. Any more? Rest in already a complicated time. Rest and balance. The thing that God seeks for us, the thing that Christ calls forth from us. Come away apart, he says, and rest yourselves. When he sees how busy and how almost frantic his followers are, come away to a place apart and rest yourself. Hold those words, especially in the busyness of seasons like this. It's all good busy, but it's busy nonetheless. And balance has been a centerpiece of every faith and spirituality that has ever come along, including Christianity and its Judaic tradition, Islam, all of the rest of the main spiritualities, and most of the other New Age and other kinds of expressions that are coming along, in some way or fashion, preach enoughness, sufficiency, and balance in a world that can be chaotically out of balance sometimes. The psalmist hopes for the presence of God. Stir up your might and come to save us, the psalmist says. From apocalyptic times, from the mouths of apocalyptic prophets, the time of the prophets in the north and south, the time of Jesus' living ministry, in our own time, apocalypsis, the general condition and anxiety of our age. God has always been faithful to raise up a deliverer. The prophets attest to this in their time. Jesus attests to this in proclaiming his own identity as the one sent from God to make all things new, to renew, restore, heal, and redeem. God has always been faithful to raise up a deliverer. And so in times when it seems as though it can't get any worse than this, the cry of the people through the voice of the prophets, through the voice of their leaders, is save us. Save us from all that seeks to separate us from one another and all that seeks to separate us from you, Lord. Save us. Isaiah is an apocalyptic prophet, and he's a little more concrete than most. He's not interested in just the hue and cry. He says, do something demonstrable in our reading today. Do something undeniable. Shake up the heavens and shake the earth as well, he says. Make your name known to everyone. And again, we've studied this, onoma, name. Make your way, your character, your nature. Reveal that to everyone in the world. And that everyone, capital E, not just the people, not just the ones who have been given to know, but to all people the world over and for generations to come. Not just the sign, but tear open the heavens and come down here. And of course, we, in our faith and spirituality, receive that as the gift of the Christ, that indeed, in answer to that very prayer, God comes among us as one of us in the Christ. Isaiah states the case, "There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hands of our own iniquity." Hear that and feel the sting of that. Because he's calling out a profound truth among the people. And that's what prophets do. They speak God's truth into a given place and time, into the situations and circumstances of life as we experience them. And he says, "Lord, you rightly have delivered us into the hands of our own iniquity." And there's the way we translate that word that Luther used for sin, iniquitas. And it literally is a posture. We've talked about this a couple times. Iniquitas is a bent inwardness on the self. It literally frames someone self-absorbed or self-absorbing. You've delivered us into the hands of our own solipsism. You've delivered us into the hands of our own self-absorption, the prophet says. And the calling of God is to be outward, expansive, sharing, and generous, and honoring the one who gives us life. So Isaiah is basically saying to God and on behalf of the people, yeah, we've kind of made our own bed, but don't let that prevail. Don't let that be your judgment upon us. Tear open the heavens and come down. The invitation of Advent. Jesus' time is an apocalyptic time. And don't confuse apocalypse with the great final battle. Oftentimes when people use that word, they're using it in that way, and it's really not even a definition of the word. It's not a very good translation of apocalyptos. It means unveiling. It means revealing. The apocalypsis is a pulling aside of the veil that has prevented us from seeing clearly. Apocalypse is the great revealing of God in power in the midst of the world. This is what is being asked. Isaiah understands this really well, and Jesus understands it well too. Everyone is watching expectantly in his time because they know. They know from their history that when things have gotten this bad, given whatever context or time we might be talking about in history, when things have gotten this bad, God has moved. God has acted in the midst of the world. And God will therefore act again because God, God is faithful to God's promises. So people are looking. And Jesus warns people, many will come in my name, many will come in proclaiming the name of the Lord, but they are false prophets and they will lead many astray. This is a time when prophetic voices are rising because in Jesus' time, the oppressor is Rome and the oppressor is cracking down horribly. It's gotten as bad as it can possibly get. Surely, God will act in this time. And God acts. God acts in the one who, in Mark today, in the 13th chapter of Mark. Mark 13 is described as the mini apocalypse. Hear that, and hear that in relation to the definition of the word. Jesus talks in these apocalyptic terms about one like the Son of Heaven coming on, a Son of Man coming on the clouds. The very deliverance of God coming into the midst of the people in the here and now. And inviting, awakening them to the realities of the world and yet to the calling of God upon their lives to be about difference, to be about change, to be the change, as we've said many times, to be the change that we long to see in the world. To begin ourselves to enact the kingdom of God, to do this in our own lives and in our own spheres, and with whom and above whom all we have power to affect, to encourage, and to invite to live likewise. Jesus talks in these terms, and he says, you'll hear wars and rumors of wars. This is where that phrase comes from, is Mark's mini apocalypse. And you will see families broken apart. You will see brothers against brothers. You will see nations against nations. You will see the pitted divisiveness and polarity that we see literally in the world around us today. Sometimes in our own communities, sometimes in our own families. And he says, don't be afraid. One of the many times he gives us that encouragement, that hopeful message, do not fear, because fear will disable you. Fear will incapacitate you from being a part of what it is that God is doing in our midst. Don't be afraid. He says, these are but the beginnings of the birth pangs. Something new is going to be born into the midst of the world, and we are beginning to experience the labor of that. And it's dreadful. It's uncomfortable. It's painful. It's confusing and frustrating, and it can push us towards despair. And the antidote to despair is hope. The antidote to saying, well, it's never going to get any better than this. It's to have a vision of what it is that is better. My friend Richard Rohr, the best criticism of what is bad is to be better. To be the people that God has made us, to be the true people of God as we are crafted and called to be. Hope is mikveh in Hebrew. The psalmist talks about it, something awaited with trust and longing, mikveh. Psalmist says, I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I believe that, and I think that's some of the most refreshing and hopeful language in all of Scripture. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. An Advent message, if there ever was one. Someone literally in the grip of hope who refuses despair. I believe that I will see God's goodness in the midst of life, in me, in the world around me. Elpidos in Greek. The desire for something good and the expectation that it will come to pass. The desire and the expectation, both components of this hopefulness. Paul says, we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. That has been given to us. We are hopeful because we're people of hope. We're hopeful because we're people of, dare we say, the solution to the things that ail us and ail our people in our time. Called to be a part of that solution. Called to live a way and a truth and a life that is counter to what is fragmenting families and peoples these days. For us today, even in the midst of a season that is growing darker by the day, even in the midst of a season that is growing to the darkest night of the year, we are called to hope. Advent becomes an invitation to prepare, be ready for the gift of God's self that's coming into the world, for one like a Son of Man, coming literally on the clouds of heaven. God calls forth hopefulness in his people. Through the apocalyptic prophet Jeremiah, surely I know the plans I have for you, God says. Plans for your welfare, not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Amen.